Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront chats with Jamil Jude, director of Kenny Leon's True Colors production of Skeleton Crew. It opens this weekend, and he's here to talk about that and much more. Alvin Ailey dancer Jamar Roberts is also here to talk about his new work, Members Don't Get Weary, and this week's Atlanta engagement at the Fox Theater. We'll also be playing clips from my red carpet interviews from the 2019 Bounce Trumpet Awards and music from Max Roach, India Irie, and Erykah Badu. But first, here's Reva Blue with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for men and women to portray 18-year-old track and field runners. The actors must have triple jump, hurdles, and high jump experience and must be available to work on Friday, February 22nd. If this is you, please submit your name, number, and sizes to sound at centralcasting.com with track and field in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, check out the new trailer for Bolden at WCLK.com. Inspired by the life of Buddy Bolden, the film reimagines the compelling, powerful, and tragic life of an unsung American hero and the social context in which his revolutionary music was conceived. The birth of jazz was the birth of American popular culture. From Louis Armstrong to Jimi Hendrix, the Rolling Stones, the Fugees, and Dr. Dre, Bolden is where it all began. And finally, Netflix has released the official trailer for a new romantic dramedy, Juanita, starring Alfre Woodard. It debuts on March 8th. Fed up with her life, Juanita leaves her grown kids behind and hits the road in search of a fresh start. The film also features Blair Underwood, Adam Beach, and LaTanya Richardson Jackson. Check out the trailer at WCLK.com. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Members don't get weary. Members don't get weary. Members don't get weary. All the work.
Wake up. This is Spike Lee listening to my man, Ray Cornelius, Upfront, 91.9 WCLK.
That was music from jazz icon Max Roach titled Members Don't Get Weary. The Negro spiritual is the inspiration behind Alvin Ailey dancer Jamar Roberts' new choreographed work of the same name. The performance is part of the programming for this week's Ailey Atlanta engagement at the Fox Theater, and Roberts talked exclusively to us about creating that, his love for jazz music, and much more. Well, Jamar Roberts, welcome to Upfront. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I am so excited about you guys coming to Atlanta next week. We're really looking forward to what Ailey is going to bring to the fabulous Fox. We know that you guys always bring exciting stuff every year, but in particular, looking forward to seeing your new work, Members Don't Get Weary. And this is actually your first choreographed piece. So how did this come to you? What inspired this particular performance?
The work was mainly inspired by the times we're living in right now. I mean, I felt like they were really troubling for myself, and I'm pretty sure for other people around the world. And I just kind of took this feeling and threw it into this work. It was also inspired by Alvin Ailey's work. One of his first pieces was choreographed to blues music. It was called Blues Suite. And so I figured I have the blues, you know what I mean? If I want to be in line with Alvin Ailey's vision, let's really do like a spinoff, not necessarily a spinoff, but like really be inspired by his work. And so I created this work called Members Don't Get Weary. It is to music by John Coltrane, and it's essentially about having the blues.
Yeah. Now, how did you come up with the title? Because I know that you guys kind of call yourselves members, or you're members of the dance company. So how did you come up with that title?
That title is actually the title of a Max Roach album called, I think it's either, it's a song on a Max Roach album. It's an old Negro spiritual.
Okay.
And in terms of members, I think for the title, I was speaking to everybody. I was speaking to you, to me, my coworkers, to the world, essentially.
Now, you mentioned John Coltrane, and jazz does play a major role in this piece. So how did you decide on John for this particular one?
I thought it was very easy because the company has never used his music in their entire repertory before. So I really wanted to make a point in terms of using music that was both spiritual and uplifting, but also had like an intensity, and that was also, in a way, a music for the people and of the people. I also love really complex music, and so that was probably the most complex yet palatable music I could find for an ALE audience.
Wow. Now, what did you learn differently as the choreographer that you didn't know as a dancer?
Nothing. I think I was pretty good in that regard. I mean, I've really been making dance since I was, I don't know, I would say 16 years old. And from the time I started and now, I've worked with professionals, I've worked with children, I've worked with teenagers. So there was nothing there that was really surprising to me besides the amount of support, I think, that I got from my coworkers going into this. You know, you can always expect, you know, for there to be at least one dancer that doesn't exactly get, you know, what it is that you're saying. But in this process, it was, I couldn't have asked for a better process. Everybody was completely on board. So,
yeah. And what do you want the takeaway message to be from the audience taking in this particular piece?
I like to say that the overall message is sort of like persistence, like being persistent through rough times. And I think that the piece does a good job at sort of depicting that. And it also does a good job at sort of having this overarching sense of, you know, don't give up, don't get weary, you know, better times are ahead.
Yeah. And what inspires you? What keeps you going personally? You guys travel so much and you're constantly on the road. You're going in and out of, you know, different cities. What kind of keeps you going and keeps you motivated?
I think what keeps me motivated often is sort of the prospect or the dream or the hope of having to make more dances. So I'm constantly coming up with pieces in my mind, and those pieces involve costumes, they involve content. So I'm really, I'd spend a lot of my time sort of creating content and reading a lot and listening to a lot of music and just looking for inspiration in everywhere.
And lastly, what's next for you in terms of with the company, and do you want to choreograph more new works?
Yeah, I definitely would love to choreograph more new works, most specifically with the ALE company, just because I feel that the vision of the founder and my vision and the conversation that he was having is the same conversation that I'm having right now, you know, is uplifting people of color, telling the stories of Black people. And so that's kind of where I am. So if I could make work for the company forever, that would be great. I could also make some work on some other people, but I think for now, Alvin Ailey is sort of what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, Jamar, thank you so much for being a guest today on Upfront. Again, we look forward to seeing the Atlanta performance next week. You guys will be at the Fabulous Fox. And you can get more information about Members Don't Get Weary, as well as the 60th anniversary celebration of ALE at the Fabulous Fox Theater at WCLK.com. Jamar, you have a great time, and we'll see you next week. Hey, Upfront listeners, make sure you check out my Upfront ALE 60 special featuring former ALE artistic director Judith Jamison, airing this week on CAU TV 23. She'll be talking about the company's 60th anniversary, the legacy of Mr. ALE, and more. Go to WCLK.com for more information.
I know exactly what you're thinking. I've had those thoughts a million times. I can see the question that's behind your eyes, or you're searching for your peace of mind. listen up to this truth. You are me and I am you. Every one of us is worthy.
Hi, Cassie Davis here. You're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius. Take it away, Ray!
You just heard new music from Grammy Award-winning artist India Arie. I caught up with her and a host of other celebrities during the recent red carpet of the 2019 Bounce Trumpet Awards. Here's what she had to say about her new project.
It's called Worthy, and so the songs are all either implicitly or explicitly imbued with that word. And for me, my favorite definition of the word worthy is deserving of regard and respect. And when you say it that way, you realize that everyone is, but we don't all feel that we are because of whatever society says you have to have certain parameters to be worthy. And what I have learned, the music industry has taught me, that you need to know you're worthy for yourself, because people are going to act all kind of ways, and you're going to have to be able to remind them when they're out of line. And so this last 5-8 years, I've been cultivating my own self-worth further. And so I wanted to make a project that would sing that to people. And all the songs aren't about that. Some of them are. There is a song called Worthy. But just the sound of it.
New art for that. Like, what, yesterday? Yeah, I'm keeping it up.
I want people to feel empowered. And I want to do my part to do that. Not that I can do it, but there's somebody who listens to me. And I want them to feel empowered. But I think we need all hands on deck in this world, period, because people are hurting.
Honoree Dapper Dan also talked about receiving this year's Vanguard Award for his influence in urban fashion and style.
You know, I knew that I had to do something different. I didn't know if it was going to take off the way it is, but I'm glad it did. And, you know, it came to a point where I said, I have to continue this here. And then the staircase just opened up.
Yeah. Now, there is a book. You've got a book coming out and a biopic that's coming out. So can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, the book is like, a lot of people think that fashion was my objective, but fashion has only been a platform to me to tell a bigger story. So my book will be everything you ever wanted to know about Harlem but didn't know who to ask.
Right.
And the struggles, and about my growing up in the church, Nation of Islam, Panther Party, going to Africa, living in Africa, to be everything that I ever encountered, trying to find out who I am.
Well, congratulations again, all right? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Honoree Robert Townsend will also be recognized for his contribution to film and television and talked about directing BET's new drama, American Soul. He also gave us an update on the Broadway version of his classic film, The Five Heartbeats.
I knew Don Cornelius, and I got a chance to, you know, host Soul Train. It was really an honor because he did something that no one had ever done, and he had a lot of obstacles in his way. I mean, the TV series is going to be amazing because it really, you know, honors the man, though he's a flawed hero. So I'm really excited to be a part of it. I can't wait for the world to see it.
And the Five Heartbeats musical, Broadway, how close are we to that?
We got a lot of work to go, but I'm really happy with what we've been working on. Keenan and I have been working on the book, and we've got some music stuff, so we've just been working away.
Well, congratulations, and we cannot wait to see the musical.
Thank you.
This year's Bounce Trumpet Awards is being hosted by actress Wendy Raquel Robinson and R&B musical sensation Tank. Here's what she says about her new gig and her upcoming series, Grand Hotel.
I am so excited. And you know what's so crazy? I've never been to the Trumpet Awards, so it's my first time attending. And I'm hosting, and Tank is, y'all, get ready. Yeah. It's been great.
Real quick, Grand Hotel, you in the show. Can we talk about it a little bit?
Yes, we can talk about it. Eva Longoria's company is producing it, and we premiere June 17th, right after The Bachelorette. So fingers are crossed, but it's a sexy, different show. You know, it's something so different for me. It's a 1 hour, so I think it's a ride where you're going to see me go in places that I didn't even know I was going when I got the role. Yeah. So I love my character. I love the show. I love the cast. And it's been amazing. Yeah. I'm pinching myself. It's been absolutely amazing.
Bounce Trumpet Awards founder Zernona Clayton also talked to us about selecting this year's honorees.
Well, it's really a process, but it's a good process because we got a lot to choose from. And that's the beauty of it all, that, you know, they keep coming. There's more and more and more. And when I first started this program, the people with whom I worked, white people, said, "You're going to run out." And I said, "Oh, no." But they didn't know. So we're teaching them that there's more to come. So tonight is just another example of here's some more. and there's more to come.
The 2019 Bounce Trumpet Awards airs tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Tune in to CAU TV 23 at 8:30 p.m. to watch all of Upfront's red carpet coverage of the show and more. Go to WCLK.com for more information.
Omar Dorsey, a.k.a. Hollywood of Queen Sugar, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My last segment features artistic director for Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater Company, Jamil Jude. He is directing the company's new production of Skeleton Crew, which opens this weekend at the Southwest Arts Center. The show focuses on a group of auto plant workers who must make choices on how to move forward if their plant goes under, and their boss Reggie, who is torn between doing right by his work, family, and the red tape in his office.
Jamil Jude, welcome back to Upfront. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. Thanks. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to be back.
Yeah. So before we get into Skeleton Crew, amazing show, got to say congratulations on two things, because we didn't have you when you became the artistic director for the Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater Company. But you're also being featured this month in our PNC Bank's Salute to Black History Month. These amazing... Our guys are iconic figures here around Atlanta's arts and entertainment community. So congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you, man. You know, I get nervous when people, put me with those names that are being honored. But, you know, it's a blessing, and I have to accept it as such. And I'm just honored to be able to tell stories, especially stories about people that look like me on the platforms that I'm given. So with this appointment as incoming artistic director at True Colors, what it means for me is that I get to continue to advocate for our stories and find new stories for our audiences to hear and continue just to reaffirm and challenge our community and to do it through the arts. It's what I've been blessed to do for the entirety of my career, and I look forward to doing it here in Atlanta for a lot longer too.
Did you imagine that for yourself? Did you see that for yourself, kind of on the horizon, that that was eventually going to happen?
You know, when I got into the industry, I'd always dreamed, you know, when I'm an adult, when I'm a grown up, I would run a culturally relevant theater. And I don't think I knew what it meant at first. But I slowly started to cobble it together. And luckily, I met Kenny early in my career, and I met Charles Randolph Ride, and I met Mary McClinton, and I met Lori Carlos, who was an original for Color Girls. And I met all these people who poured into me and helped me understand what cultural relevance really meant. So when I had the opportunity to move to Atlanta, work with Kenny as his associate artistic director, and I got to see the way the city of Atlanta responded to True Colors, I recognized, oh, I work at a culturally relevant organization. And now as artistic director, I recognize there is no more culturally relevant theater company in Atlanta, but maybe across the country, than what True Colors means to Atlanta. So to have that opportunity to tell those stories here makes me feel a tremendous amount of love and grace and excitement to do it. And I'm just thankful for all the people like you who have supported that growth and who continue to support me. So I thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So let's talk about Skeleton Crew. You guys have started that up this weekend. It's going to run through March the 10th. Got a chance to see it, and an amazing show, very timely show. There's so much going on right now around the country and in our communities. The threat of government shutdowns, and probably by the time this airs, we may be in another government shutdown. And this play sort of addresses that topic, the topic of layoff, the topic of what do you do when your livelihood is being jeopardized. You already have so many other things kind of going on, and now you've got the burden of how am I going to provide for my family. So what was it about this particular story? Because this is actually the second play from...
Dominique Mauricio.
Yeah, because you guys did Detroit 67.
Yep.
This is sort of the second story from her. What made you guys decide to do this particular one?
Well, I think the first thing is that Dominique writes with so much authenticity when she writes about her city. She's from Detroit. She loves that city, and her love for her city comes through. So when you read the writing and the poetry in which she writes about these people, that's the first thing that hits you. And then when you start thinking about all the social implications, so for so many of us, especially people of color, our hold on the American dream feels like it's always fleeting, right? Like, and the fact that a lot of people of color, black people specifically, work in the federal government, we are always at risk when these types of shutoffs, shutdowns happen. So I started looking at these plays, and Kenny and I started talking about, well, what type of story did we want to tell our audience? And we wanted to tell one of people through grit, fighting for survival. Forced families, these people who will work in this auto industry, these four characters, create their own family unit inside of this workplace, much like any of us do at our own workplaces. But what happens when those family members are drawn on two sides of an issue? In this case, Reggie, who is the manager, is kind of sworn to secrecy about this plant closing, and he has to keep that secret from Faye, who he's known for his entire life, and two employees, Shanita, who's pregnant, Dez, who's a young guy who has dreams and aspirations. What happens when the decisions of corporations and of governments force us to pick sides? Mm-hmm. I think the issues were just so full and ripe for discussion, especially when we look at Atlanta and just the way Atlanta is changing, and we're constantly having these conversations. It felt like something the True Colors audience would want to see, and I'm happy to bring it.
And I will say that this is something very gritty. I think it's very in your face. I mean, it was one of those things where, you know, a lot of times we go to shows to kind of get away from the issues, our own personal issues, and kind of go into another world at another time. But this really kind of hits you square in the face, and you have to deal with it. It's almost like you're having to stand there and kind of think about your own situations that may be going on. And sometimes that may be a little uncomfortable, but at the same time, you're basically seeing in a sense your own life being played out and how to navigate and get through those tough times. Let's talk about casting, because loved Tanya Jackson,
yes,
as Faye, and loved Enoch as Reggie. I mean, everyone did an amazing job, but that last scene was just so freaking intense. You know what I mean? So let's talk about the casting for the show.
Well, you know, I love being the director, right? Like, because I just get to watch these beautiful actors do their work every day. So the times when we rehearse that final scene, you know, you just sit back sometimes in awe, like, oh man. So all you have is like, hey, if you just did this or moved here or turned this way, and just to see the world opens up. When you cast smart actors, you make you look like a good director. So I'm really happy to have Tanya Jackson, like you said, playing the lead character of Faye, and Enoch King playing alongside her in that lead role as the character of Reggie. But we also have two really young and really great and dynamic, yeah, performers, and Aisha Howard, who plays Shanita, a pregnant woman at 25, who is a second generation plant worker. Her father had a lot of grit, and she too brings that grit to the plant life every day. Asia's great, and to see her growth throughout the process has been really nice. And Anthony is joining us for the second time. He was in Holler If You Hear Me. He played more of an ensemble role, so here's his first time really just to dig in and get this meaty role on stage. So I'm really excited by this group. You know, we started the casting process a while back, so now to finally get to this part where you had these ideas of what these actors are going to bring to it, and now here we are, and they're bringing it, and I'm so thankful.
Yeah. Is it safe to say that Dominique is sort of the female version of August Wilson? Because she's really dealing with, she has this trilogy, in a sense, and more stories about, mm-hmm, just regular common life that's taking place in the African-American community that is so relatable.
Well, what I love about both those writers is that they give our mundane, everyday existence, the things that we may not think deserve celebration. August Wilson and Dominique imbue those moments with so much poetry that causes us to celebrate our lives and look at our lives in new ways, to ask us the questions, to understand the immediacy, even if the play is set in 2008 or in 1980 or in 1906, like when I think Jim of the Ocean is set for Mr. Wilson's, the play still feels so very immediate because, mm-hmm, of the poetry, because of the depth and understanding. So I feel like they are deeply in conversation with one another. And I think Dominique says it all the time. That's definitely a source of inspiration. But what Dominique has done differently that Mr. Wilson had in some of his plays, but Dominique really writes from a black woman's perspective and really imbues those black women with so much depth, the depth that we know that black women have on the day to day. Dominic really brings that forward on stage and through those characters. And that's really great. She did it in Detroit 67. She does it here in Skeleton Crew. And we're going to bring Paradise Blue to close out the trilogy. And you'll get to see just how rich those characters are that Dominic writes.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Where do you see True Colors in 4 years under your direction?
You know, I think what you'll see is that True Colors has really doubled down on our commitment to being at the nexus of civic engagement and artistic excellence. What we've built our reputation on, thanks to Kenny's masterful work over the last 16 years, is to really delivering really high quality plays. And that's not going to change. But what we really want to do more of is that in the 21st century, I think theaters have to be in conversation with community. Like, it can't be, oh, just come and see this play for entertainment value. It has to be, you know, we are presenting plays that allow us an opportunity to engage in a theme, a discussion that when we are stuck in our cars or stuck in our sides of the political divide, that we just talk at one another and we don't listen. What True Colors is really going to do is we want to provide people an opportunity to listen to multiple sides of the story, create instant community, and have deep conversations, deep and moving conversations about the work. So that's what you'll see. You'll see us having more community forums. I'm hoping that Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms continues to support our work. I lovingly call it Notorious KLB because I'm such a Biggie fan. Yeah. But I see us in Mercedes-Benz Stadium having a huge discussion where the art leads a conversation about what's happening in our city. So that's what I see for the future of the organization.
Yeah. All right, Jamil. Thank you so much for stopping by Upfront and talking about Skeleton Crew. You can get more information about the show, which is taking place now through March the 10th at the Southwest Arts Center. You can get all of that at WCLK.com. Congratulations and thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Well, that'll do it for this week's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Jamar Roberts, Jamil Jude, and my guests from the 2019 Bounce Trumpet Awards. I'd also like to thank Reva Blue, the voice of Casting Buzz, and my engineer, Jami Wellman. Upfront is produced by WCLK 91.9. Please join us next Saturday, February 23rd, for another edition of Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's jazz station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.
There's a gleam in your eyes, reflecting what's in front of you. Your tongue, a tasteling of